And I am you.
And you are me.
It's just a crazy storm.
Hello and welcome to Action Packed, the travel podcast. I'm Peter.
And I'm Felice.
Together we've spent half a lifetime travelling to just about every corner of the world, making a living as travel writers out of what we like doing best.
And that's skiing, biking, beaches, hiking and a whole lot more.
Each week, Action Packed gives us the opportunity to share with you on the show some of these great experiences and the amazing people we meet along the way. Right now, real travel is limited to a daily walk around our local park, but the world will one day return to normal.
Meanwhile, dreams are risk-free and they're always available. You can find out more about us on our website, actionpacktravel.com. We'll regularly be posting links and show notes and loads of other useful stuff. If you like what you hear, please click on the subscribe button and listen to more episodes.
Yes, this week we're on the train. No, not the 5:30 from Waterloo to Winchester, more a Eurostar to Europe from St Pancras. As coronavirus continues to create havoc, airlines across the world have been forced from the skies. So what really is the future of international travel? Could it be that when travel returns in earnest, trains, not planes, will now take the strain? We talked to loco expert Daniel Elkin. His Snow Carbon website encourages skiers in particular to explore a much more comfortable and, of course, more environmentally friendly way to reach destinations in mainland Europe. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here.
Now, you started a website for train travel to the Alps, I think 11 years ago. Who decided to do that?
I started the site because there are so many great ski resorts that you can reach by train, but it's really difficult to find out which ones they are and how to get there. And I'd been writing about the subject for 5 years before I started the site in 2009. And I've been traveling to ski resorts by train since 1998. And, you know, the journeys are fantastic, but it's always a bit of a wild goose chase trying to find out the nitty-gritty details. And often there are ski resorts that you don't even realize are quite accessible by train from the UK. And so I wanted to create a resource for skiers that would put all the information about train travel to ski resorts in one place for them so that they could do the journeys, find out about the journeys that I was doing and that I was witnessing other skiers doing and really enjoying.
Is it much more energy efficient going by train than driving, let's say?
If you travel to a ski resort by car, a full car, one way from, let's say, London to Sausalito in Italy, will create about 225 kilograms of CO2. The same journey by plane would create about 120 kilograms of CO2. So the 250 is, that's for a full car. So you can divide that, if you've got five people in the car, divide that by five, you've got about 50 kilograms each. By plane, about 120 kilograms per person, and by train, about 12.
That's a huge difference, isn't it?
It is.
Now, do you think as we now emerge, or begin to hopefully emerge from the current coronavirus crisis, that we'll see travel change in every possible way? Will we see a huge increase in train travel, do you think, as opposed to air travel? Because we really don't know at this stage which airlines are coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a big assumption as to, you know, which trains will begin to run and when. And, you know, will they be able to have full trains again? Or would they, you know, like airlines are suggesting, need to leave some empty seats at first? But assuming that trains were running normally, I think there will be increased demand for trains and for train travel. And I think it's going to become more expensive to fly.
Which I think it's become a lot more expensive to fly now. I think we're going to see perhaps a doubling of some airfares. But in the past, the criticism of train travel has been that it's too expensive in comparison to charter flights.
If you're a skier, there are, as you know, tour operators that buy airline seats in advance at really cheap prices and bundle it all together with transfer from the airport. And it's difficult for train travel to compete with that. But there are some tour operators that do price the train at the same level as the plane. And if you're traveling independently, it's actually, it seems like flying's cheaper on the face of it, because you look at the airfare, first of all, the prices advertised are just the seat. Then you add the luggage, then you add the transfer from the airport to the resort, which is far more expensive than the transfer from a train station to resort. And you start to put them together and you realize there's actually very little difference in it. In some cases, at half term or New Year, it's often cheaper to travel by train to the Alps. But people assume it's more expensive. And it's true, some of the train fares are quite steep.
I also feel that there are never quite enough train seats or train journeys available, that there are lots and lots of flights, but there are never enough capacity for going by train. They seem to run out quite quickly. Do you think after this, maybe there'll be more journeys available?
You're absolutely right. There's not enough train capacity. I mean, at peak dates, the trains sell out. And actually, if we had more journeys, there would be more connections. It would be much easier for people to get between here and the Alps. And there is, you know, for example, Eurostar has way more capacity than it uses. They could put a lot more trains between London and Paris, for example, which would enable people to get onwards to far more alpine destinations. They could run a ski train on Sundays and fill that. They could do a second one at half term, fill it within hours. I find it a shame, really, that train capacity hasn't been increasing at a rate with demand, because so many more people want to travel now by train for environmental reasons, as well as all the other reasons. You know, there's so many practical and social benefits of going by train too. But you don't see year on year train schedules being added in the way that they perhaps could.
In the wake, one day there will surely be a wake of the coronavirus crisis, do you think we may experience a worldwide revolution in travel? Many less planes and many more trains?
I think that depends on the train companies. I hope we do. The demand is there. If you're a traveller and you want more trains, who are you going to write to? There's not the normal feedback mechanisms. You know, if you go into your local coffee shop and you particularly like oat milk or full fat milk, and they've only got semi-skimmed, you say, do you have any full fat milk? They will pretty quickly, if a few people ask, they'll realize lots of people are asking for full fat or for Oatly. So the feedback there is, you know, they can adjust, they can buy in some. But with trains, there isn't, no one's asking you, do you want more trains? It's difficult for people to, you know, there's no one they can really get in touch with. So there's kind of a general clamor for more trains. But I think if there were more trains, people would be able to make a lot more journeys. I mean, that's an obvious thing to say, but I think the demand, what I mean is the latent demand is there, but you just don't see it.
For me, and I'm sure for other people, the process of booking tickets for train travel in Europe is a complete mystery. It's not at all clear from the train companies what the options are, and I certainly wouldn't know how to find out. If I want to go from London to, say, Courchevel in January, or maybe St. Anton in February, how do I find out what to do?
So, for example, you can go onto Snow Carbon and see a list of, we've got 30 resorts on there. You can look at that, you can click on a resort and you can click on the journey planner. And the journey planner shows what I consider to be the best journey options to that resort. That could be with a direct ski train, it could be going via Paris, it could be, you can choose the date you want to travel and filter by date and see only the journeys for that date. They're all journeys that I know and have done personally, and I know what the trains are like. I haven't done every single one, but I've been on those trains. And they are timed so that the connections have suitable time to change, because often on rail company websites, there's an algorithm that chooses the connection time. And sometimes it's too little time. So I factor that in and make sure people can see can choose trains that would give them a comfortable time. The journeys, you can't always book them yet, and you can't book them on Snow Carbon. You have to go to a rail company website or use a rail booking. But there is a guide, for each resort, there's a booking guide to give you the options for if you're booking in, how to do it. Because that's not easy for people to know either. There are lots of different rail booking websites, but they don't always function that well. And if people don't know that, they can end up thinking that trains aren't available. That's actually one of the kind of fiascos of train travel, is that the whole booking system for booking trains in Europe and to Europe isn't really fit for purpose.
Well, certainly I find if I look at the SNCF site, I can't really make head nor tail of it usually. And the same applies in some other countries. I mean, certainly some are good, like Swiss trains seem to be very good, very easy to organise. You can go on their site, you find the exact times, platforms and everything else. Why can't we do this from Britain?
It's a good question. But actually, wherever you're booking from, there's an algorithm that underpins all the trains in Europe. And what often happens, and people don't realize this, is that when they, let's say they want to, you want to book a return journey, when you choose your outbound train, the system then only shows you return trains that have the same types of ticket as the outbound train that you've bought, even though there are many more return journeys and often better return journeys that are available. But the system shields this out. It like filters them out. So often you can think there aren't the journey options that you want, and you think they're not available or don't exist, but actually they do. The system doesn't show people what they need to see when they're searching journeys.
What about if you want to go further afield, like Scandinavia? Can you do that using your website, or how would you suggest people do that?
So Snow Carbon is really just focused on journeys to alpine ski resorts, but Seat 61 is a fantastic resource for traveling to anywhere by train. So it's not specialized for skiers, but it's a wonderful, wonderful resource started by a chap called Mark Smith. The website is seat61.com. And if I was going to Sweden, I would definitely look at Seat61. I would also buy, and this is the best thing that anyone that loves rail travel can get, and that's the Rail Map of Europe, which has been going for years and is still going, fortunately. And it is a wonderful two-sided map of all the train routes in Europe. And it's a brilliant, brilliant planning tool. And it's really inspirational as well, because you start looking at one place and you realize that there are connections to another place and another city, and it just creates a sense of wonder.
How do you get that? Where do you get that from?
You get that from europeanrailtimetable.com.
Oh, sounds good. And would that cover Eastern Europe as well?
It does. Yeah, all the way to Turkey.
Oh, that sounds great.
It's absolutely fantastic. I would never make a train journey without it. And there are many train journeys I wouldn't have made if I hadn't had it, because I wouldn't have, in the first place, looked at a country and seen what rail routes go where. And it's only, they send it to you for like £12, including package and posting, something like that.
That sounds very good, because we've travelled in Eastern Europe a lot in summer. We found it amazing, the facilities and the prices of the tickets. I mean, we upgraded to first class, and that was still a fraction of what you'd pay here in the UK.
We were paying something like £5 to travel for 5 hours across hundreds of miles of Slovakia, and that was first class with a free bottle of water thrown in. A similar journey in the UK, say from London to Edinburgh, would cost at least 15 times as much.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And the scenery in Slovakia. I recently went down to Croatia for a friend's... friend had a sailing holiday for their birthday, and a couple of us took the... We decided to go by train instead of flying. Everyone else was flying. And yeah, it took us a bit longer. It took us 24 hours. It probably took the people who flew about 12 hours altogether. All the faffing around with airports and then getting the transfer to the final part and stuff. And the scenery on the way, the quality of time, it's fantastic. Really, really great. I think people are quite jealous, actually. I know we had the luxury of a bit more time. Yeah, I think there's definitely something in slowing the journey down, bringing the quality up.
So tell us about the advantages of travelling by train in winter. You can take all your luggage with you and you don't have to faff through airports. Just tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first thing is, when my family don't ski, and I didn't learn to ski till in my 20s. And the first ski holiday I was invited on by a bunch of friends, I didn't know anything about skiing. And I imagined and assumed that it's going to be a quick journey. We were going to Andorra. It's only that's a couple of hours flight. I think the whole journey took us about 11 or 12 hours door to door. And there's an assumption in travel, and partly perpetrated by the travel industry, that, when you fly, the journey's going to be quick to get you where you want to go. It's just a short hop. And it's just not the case. Every journey to go skiing, if you fly, takes at least 8 hours door to door, and often much, much longer. And so, when you take that chunk of time and say, what would we do with this if we travel differently, or how long would it take to go by train? It's often not much slower to go by train. In fact, it's sometimes faster. I actually raced ski journalist Neil English from London to the hot tub of a chalet in Merivale, and we left at the same time, and there was 35 minutes difference between us.
That's amazing.
The difference in quality of time. When you go by plane, you've got a stop-start journey, which is, I think of it as a kind of conveyor belt of boredom. You get to the airport, you go through security and baggage checks, etc., and then you're waiting, and then you're on a cramped flight, and then you're waiting for your luggage, and then you're waiting for the transfer, and then you're on the transfer, and that's often delayed by the traffic or snow or both. and you eventually arrive at the ski resort, and you know, then your holiday can begin. But when you go by train, you meet up at St. Pancras, you get some coffees, you go on the Eurostar, the check-in takes just a few minutes to get through. You're on the train, you can take skis, you can take whatever bags you want, you can take, not on the overnight train, but on any other train, you can take booze, open a bottle of bubbles, have a picnic. I mean, it's such a fantastic social time. You know, once a year, I organise a big kind of chalet holiday for a bunch of friends, but not everyone knows each other. So when we meet at St. Pancras, it's a real kind of buzz that the holiday's starting there. And by the time we've got to the resort, you know, friendships have been formed, there's been hundreds of great conversations. It's a really, really different experience.
Do you have any favourite trains in Europe, like the Glacier Express or favourite train journeys?
The Glacier Express is excellent because the scenery it goes through is just spectacular. The Glacier Express goes between Zermatt and St. Moritz, passing through the most spectacular Swiss scenery. It passes like De Sentis and Sedrun and Andermatt. Just wonderful. But from the UK, I would say probably the most scenic journey you can make is from London to St. Anton. You go from London to Paris and from Paris to Zurich and then from Zurich to St. Anton. So it's three trains, and the scenery in Switzerland, you pass Lake Wallen and Lake Zurich and you just have this ringside view of this huge expanse of lake. And then when you get to Austria, you're into the Arlberg Valley and you know the trains going along. If it's snowy, you've just got the most wonderful scenes. And even if it's not, it's absolutely fantastic. And you've got, you know, mountains rising up on each side and little villages. And the thing about traveling to the Alps by train is sometimes you're going at high speed, but often you are passing through almost people's back gardens. And you get this insight into what life is like there. You're seeing the minutiae of people's lives.
Felice and I once did that journey in reverse from St. Anton to London on the Venice-Saint-Plon Orient Express. We boarded in St. Anton in the evening after skiing to the strains of a local umpah band. We'd been promised a gala dinner, and it was the only time I've ever carried skis on my shoulder while wearing a dinner jacket. It was a magical overnight journey tarnished marginally in France after breakfast when a group of 57 Heinz-baked bean salespeople join the train.
We were very lucky to have been invited on it, and it was the most amazing experience.
Really? You were talking about the advantages for skiers as well. You know, in winter when there's snow, the airport transfers can be quite delayed. Some of the roads, for example, in the Tarentaise Valley, get very clogged up with traffic, and when there's snowy conditions, they're even slower. And you often have transfers that have to allow for like 5 hours to get to the airport, and people are cooped up in all that time. Whereas the train stations that are closest to ski resorts are much closer than the airports. So you've got a much shorter transfer time, and your transfer is much less affected by snow and traffic.
I also find the main difference is that air travel is very stressful because of the delays and things like that. You don't get that at all on train travel, do you? It's much more relaxing.
It's, yeah, definitely more relaxing. I mean, even if the trains are delayed, you're at least at a station or sitting on a train, but the delays are much rarer, which means that, you know, the quality of the time and the experience is much better, and people make the journey. Often people's reason for flying is that they think it's going to be so much quicker, and often, you know, as we talked about, it isn't. But even if it is a bit quicker, what are you going to do with the time that you save?
What about long haul? Would you fly and then take the train, or go by sea and then take a train?
Yeah, I mean, how fanatical are you about not travelling by air?
I think I'm not a total fanatic. Air travel connects people, places that they really couldn't reach very easily. Otherwise, there are some long-haul journeys by plane that you just couldn't feasibly make by train or sea. I think it's about limiting the number of journeys that one makes. And what we need to do is to enable people to switch from plane to train for journeys where the train makes so much sense. Many, 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 if you're traveling from the UK, so many destinations in Europe that people fly to, they could and would happily travel to by train if people were given the means to do so. That means information, tickets at a decent like-for-like price, maybe a little bit more time factored in if they're going on business trips or for work or for a weekend break, given a little bit more time off work just to allow them to go by train. So it's really, you know, there are so many journeys that we could do by train that we don't. yeah, long haul's more difficult to translate to a train or sea journey. But, you know, I'd happily go anywhere by train. I love it.
Yeah, can non-skiers use your website for going to the Alps in summer?
Although the Snowcobbin website is really focused on skiing in terms of winter schedules, skiers could look at it to get a little bit more insight into what the journeys are like and some of the tips on how to book as well. And I'd also recommend seat61.com as a good website for summer travel. One of the key things that's really important for people to know is that, you know, when they're booking journeys online, don't trust at face value what you see online, because very often the trains that are available, journeys that are possible, just don't show up. So it's important to kind of refer to a number of different sources rather than just going onto one website, not finding the journey that you would like to be able to make and thinking that's what exists.
How flexible are trains? Is it cheaper to buy tickets in advance? And can you change them?
Yeah, like with flights, it's generally cheaper to buy train tickets in advance. Once they go on sale, they generally creep up and up as you get closer to the date of travel. And annoyingly, you know, the cheaper tickets are non-flexible tickets. And if you want to change those, you have to pay an amount to be able to change that. It's a shame, really. I would love there to be more of a kind of system where people could just turn up and go, or have the flexibility to take different trains. Because I think that makes travel so much easier for people when you don't have to commit necessarily to a certain fixed schedule. But that's not the way things are done in the train industry at the moment, generally. I mean, in places like Switzerland, once you're there, trains are without reserved seats or tickets. So you just, you know, you can buy a ticket and just get on a train, and it doesn't cost you more.
You mentioned that some tour operators include train travel in their prices. Can you tell us who they are?
Yeah, so Ingham's and Crystal buy tickets from in advance from Eurostar for the Eurostar ski train. And generally, the price that you pay is the same as flying, which is great. I think they may have subsidized the train slightly in order to offer that. Oh, the Eurostar ski train is a direct service from London. It also calls it Ashford, and it goes to the Tarentaise area of the French Alps. So that's the stations of Moutiers, Aix-les-Plaines, Bourg-Saint-Maurice, which serve an array of wonderful resorts like Tiene, Val d'Isère, La Plagne, Les Arcs, Rosières, Val Thorens, Méribel, Courchevel. So that train, I mean, you know, you get on in at St. Pancras, you get off 8 hours later in the Alps at the foot of a host of different ski resorts. It's a fantastic service and it's very popular. Half term, it sells out within 4 hours of going on sale. It was on sale mid-July, but at other dates, if you're not going on a peak date, you've got more time to buy your tickets. And it's a really good atmosphere on the train because, you know, everyone's heading out to ski, everyone's heading out to the same destination.
And if you don't take the direct daytime train service you're talking about, is there an overnight service?
There is an overnight direct service as well. Problem with the overnight service is that it doesn't have any flat beds. It's basically an ordinary Eurostar train. And so if you walk down that train, as I did just before the lockdown came into place, I was on one of the last trains coming back from the Alps on that overnight train. And you see the contortions that people are going to try and get to sleep. I mean, it's amazing. And a real variety of different positions. You know, some people trying to curl up on the floor, some people, you know, leaning against a window, some people leaning against whoever's sitting next to them. A lot of, you know, fetal positions on the seats. But it's not an easy train to sleep on, really, because you aren't able to lie flat. But there are other options that you can take to the Alps overnight. There's the Alpen Express, which goes from Amsterdam. So you can take an ordinary Eurostar to Amsterdam, have a lovely tea in Amsterdam, get on the Alpen Express, which goes from Amsterdam, passes through Cologne as well, where you could also catch it from. And it goes to a whole host of Austrian resorts. And it's got a party carriage on it, which is fantastic fun. Plays the most awful music. I mean, when Dancing Queen came on by ABBA, that was light relief, because most of the time it had been stomping Austrian après-ski techno. And that's not the audience, that's not the people that it has on board. I mean, it's such a mixture of people on board, mostly Dutch, super friendly. The atmosphere in that party carriage is wonderful. And it's got proper couchette compartments. So you get a bed. You know, if there's five of you in a compartment, you're not going to be swinging cats. There's not the room. there's just about room for your luggage. And but it's, you know, it's great fun. And you walk down the carriage, you see the Dutch people that have got this down to perfection. They open up, you can get there's a pull-out table that opens up in the middle. They get that out. They've got the cards out. They've got the drinks out. They've got the snacks out. And they are having a whale of a time, you know, as they travel to the slopes. This is as it should be. And you see there's something about the about overnight train travel that brings out the kid in everyone. I mean, the children are, you know, bedwettingly excited. Hopefully not to that level about the idea of going on an overnight train and waking up in the Alps. That's a dream for them. But I think adults have that same feeling too. You're going to wake up at the foot of the slopes. And in the case of the Alpen Express, you actually, you know, many of the ski resorts have the train station is in the village. So there's no transfer. The train is going to drop you in the resort. That's wonderful.
As a child, I remember traveling by night across Europe to Lech am Aalborg on an Unalo charter train. There was a party carriage with people trying to dance to music supplied by a gramophone. I use that word advisedly. And every time you went over any form of point, the needle jumped again.
That's brilliant. But that's the thing. You were traveling on a train chartered by a tour operator. And today, there are far fewer options like that. But actually, the tour operators want to be able to offer more train travel. They know that that's what skiers want. And they want to do... They want to be able to offer more sustainable options too. But it's definitely the case that train companies don't make it very easy for tour operators to train travel and to package ski holidays with train travel included. And that's a real shame, because if the train companies made it easier for tour operators to do that, we would be seeing a lot more packages with rail travel included, which would make it a lot easier for ski holidays to be by train.
I always think that traveling by rail is really romantic. Look at Brief Encounter, The Railway Children, Dr. Zhivago, and films like that. Whereas flying isn't really.
You know, you could meet the love of your life at an airport. It's just less likely. You haven't got the scenery to talk about. Part of the romance of train travel is not just the environment and the scenery and the fact that people like that feeling of kind of constant movement. It's also the fact that in films like Brief Encounter, you don't know who you're going to end up sitting next to. I've met some fantastic people on train journeys. There is a camaraderie that exists just under the surface, and often random conversations will start just by someone saying, you know, hi, how are you doing? Or something happens and people start talking. I've met some brilliant people, made some great friends through train journeys. It's a lovely serendipity. And I think, you know, when people sit down, if they just give person opposite a nod or a hello, it just opens up that possibility for a conversation.
Yesterday, we went for a walk in the Hampshire countryside with our dogs, a legally permitted walk. We looked up at the sky and there wasn't a single sign of a plane of any description. It reminded me of my childhood a very long time ago. Is that what you want? No planes in the sky now or forever?
Me personally, I think it would be a shame if we never saw a plane in the sky again. I think it would be great if we saw far fewer planes in the sky and more trains on the ground.
And may there be many more trains across Europe in the year ahead. Dan, thanks for coming on the show. If you're interested in finding out some insider knowledge about how to go about rail travel to Europe, do visit Dan's website, snowcarbon.co.uk.
That's all for now. If you've enjoyed the show, do please visit our website, actionpacktravel.com, or subscribe on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, or another of the many platforms that we're on. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with at least one other person.
And I am you.
And you are me.
It's just a crazy storm.